You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 4th of January. The Jazz fall at home to the Pelicans. How big a loss was it? Rodney Hood in and out. Who is he? And your questions on Facebook Live. It's all coming up today on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks very much for tuning in. This is your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, bringing you expertise, insight, behind-the-curtains look, geeky numbers, all sorts of other stuff to show you about the Utah Jazz. We do it for you each and every day. Thanks for tuning in. And if you listened to yesterday's Pelicans preview, we pretty much told you how that game was going to play. They dictated the action. Today's show is brought to you by my friends over at Murdoch Chevy. I got a cool story to tell you. And Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. All right, let's run through last night's game. We like to kind of review some of the numbers, look at the game, figure out what happened through an analytical point of view, and some of the new graphics, and then talk about it a little bit. We do this after each and every game. By the way, I screwed up yesterday on the program. Yesterday was Draft Wednesday, and because I thought it was Tuesday the whole time, I didn't do it. So for those of you who play draft with me, I can't play NBA daily, but I can play football. And so since we're on the road and we're stuck and watch, I'm going to actually do a quick little NFL one with probably three or four people. You can still use the promo code LOJAZZ, but keep an eye on it. It's really fun. We'll do a draft, I think, with only four wildcard games, right? So with only eight quarterbacks available, probably shouldn't do more than four or six people in a league. Or else someone's going to get a really crappy quarterback. But so we'll probably do a four- or six-person league on draft today. I really am having fun with it. Buddy and I are doing golf this week. So promo code for draft is LOJAZZ, and I hope you are liking it. And sorry I screwed up and didn't do our Locked On Jazz Wednesday league. All right, let's go to last night's game. Jazz offensive rating or defensive rating. Last night the defensive rating was a 110. Okay, so that's interesting because the Pelicans' offense came in sixth best in the NBA at 110. And I'm not sure that I believe that we are better than an average defense without Rudy. I would point out, by the way, I was listening to DJ and PK today. I thought they did a great job, and they were talking about the impact of last night's loss, and I do think it's a big loss in the playoff picture. I just think we got to remember playing without our best guy. Like, and it's not an excuse, and it's the reality of where we are, and it probably dictates whether or not we make the playoffs or not. But it is worth just kind of remembering when we analyze this that the fact is we're a 40 to 45 win team, depending on your, you know, frankly, we're a 30, we never talk about it, but we're a 37 to 44 win team, depending if you were optimistic or pessimistic about our team. This upcoming season, that's the reality of who we are. Now we're without our best player, and so that's kind of the reality. I don't know. I guess that's kind of where we are. And it doesn't mean that I would say to you we should just concede or anything, but I do think that it's I do think it's worth kind of realizing that exists. I don't really know what I'm saying, but well, I do. But it sounds like I'm just quitting, and I don't want it to be that way. But there is, you know, if you look at our group, so our group is Portland, Denver, New Orleans, Clippers, Jazz, right? Those are the five teams. They're probably competing for three playoff spots, and Minnesota might be in there, but give them credit, and they've been better, and Oklahoma City might be in there, but they've been better, so they've kind of separated a little bit. You know, I don't know what Portland was without Damian Lillard there for a while, but I don't think they were great. And Denver was without Nikola Jokic or Paul Millsap, and I don't think they were great. And, you know, we've been without Rudy Gobert, and the Clippers were without Blake Griffin, and they weren't great. That's probably more than anything else we should be talking about, what we should be talking about. But it's not fun, right? There's nothing that makes that an enjoyable conversation about your team is when you know, just say, oh, well, we didn't have our best guy. But, gosh, I go look at Minnesota, and and they've been healthy the whole time. They haven't missed a guy, and Oklahoma City hasn't missed any, noticeable time with anyone, and they're suddenly ahead of us. Is that the reason? Denver, I'm looking it up right now. Denver without Jokic went 3-4, came back in the two games he played kind of partial. They went 1-1. So they went 4-6 in the 10 games without Jokic. Like, that's kind of where we are. And if we go look at who they, I didn't dig into it enough to go look at who they beat and who they didn't. But if we were to go look at who they beat and who they didn't, I bet what we would find out is that they went and beat a bunch of teams that are probably not as good. Right. And the Jazz have actually just not had a single game without Rudy recently against a team that's not as good. The Clippers, who I projected to be ahead of the Jazz when the season started, were without Gallinari, without Blake. And when they were without Blake, they went 5-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. And they went 5-8. Maybe that last game in Sacramento, they went 6-8. Give them some credit. That they actually kept themselves in the playoff race pretty well. So I think there's, New Orleans hasn't been missing either of their guys for extended period of time. I know Anthony Davis just misses games every now and then. There's probably some. All right. Anyway, with that said, I just think, so our defense was at 110 last night. I think that's about where we were supposed to be. Our offense was at 100. That's not good enough. Rodney Hood is our second best shooter, scorer. He goes 1 of 10. When he shoots below 33%, I think I said on Empty the Noggin that we're 2-8, right? We're 2-8 when he shoots below 33%. We're not going to win a lot of games that way. It's unfortunate. And what has yet to happen is that Donovan's presence and clearly focus of the opposing defense has not reached a point yet where it's freeing Rodney to have better games. That's what I thought was going to take place here. I really thought with Rodney Hood that's what was going to take place. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. I don't want to get derailed there. There's some positives on Rodney, and then there's just this happens. So last night, the other one, we just, by going small and playing spread, we just don't offensive rebound anymore. And that's just, I'm going to probably have to give up on this. This just seems to be the reality of where the league is, that nobody offensive rebounds. But we're really not offensive rebounding. We're 27th in the league in offensive rebounding now. To me, I just think on the four factors, you generally should try to stay out of the bottom five in anything. And we're there in offensive rebounding. It's, we're getting back in transition defense. It's the essence of us getting into a half-court set. I got it. But something in our person, and it might just simply be lack of athleticism. We just don't have a lot of guys that are going to get offensive rebounds in what we do. We only had 6 mid-range points all night. That's kind of where we are. They had 10. Otherwise, there's not a lot of big things. The pace was pretty quick last night. It was at 98 possessions, which is closer to where they want to play than where we want to play. By the way, the whole pace thing is so overplayed and such garbage. They played about 100 possessions, which is 6 in the league. We play at 95 possessions. That's 100. It's not that big a deal, right? It's just not. It's not that big a deal. Pace is really, everyone's playing faster, and it's just overblown at what it means. You got to get the early looks when you can, and when you have a chance to do that. And we were better at that. The weird thing on last night's game specifically, by the way, I didn't think last night's game matched in any way, shape, or form the plus minus to what happened compared to what I thought I saw. So now we get to last night's game, and this is where the game was not as widespread as I thought. Was uncontested looks. They were 25 of 54, and we were 22 of 56. It's a lot of uncontested looks on both sides. But I guess if we make those 3 shots, it's a very different game. Rodney was 1 of 6. Donovan was 3 of 12. Rubio was 3 of 10. Ingles was 3 of 7. Joe Johnson went 7 of 9 on uncontested looks last night. A bunch of them are mid-range, but he did a really pretty nice job on that last night. Drew Holiday went 6 of 10. Anthony Davis, 7 of 15. He's just so skilled. So they did hit some of their shots, but that disparity I thought was going to be much larger when I looked it up this morning. Hustle stats last night. They really killed us with the pick and roll. Anthony Davis had 8 screen assists last night. We're missing Rudy in that regard. We're using Derek as an offensive player on that pick and roll, and he had 3 screen assists. Joe Johnson had 2. Udo, who usually has an impact, had 0. Contested shots last night, Favors 14, Mitchell 10, Rubio 10, Joe Johnson 9. We don't draw charges. We're last in the league. And deflections last night, Rubio with 7, Joe Ingles with 4, Donovan with 3, Rodney Hood with 3. So those are kind of your advanced stats, looks at things last night. I really thought it was a make-or-miss game. The numbers don't show that nearly as much as I thought it was. One thing I thought was interesting going back through the game last night, the lineup of Donovan with Rodney Hood, Joe Ingles, Joe Johnson, and Derek Favors was plus 13 last night. It's the lineup Quinn played more than any other. He saw it. They played 16 minutes together last night. They were plus 13 last night. The bench unit of Rubio, Hood, Alec Burks, Joe Johnson, and Udo, so you're flipping AB in for Ingles, you're flipping Rubio in for Donovan, you're putting Udo in for Favors, was minus 10 in 8 minutes. Now, a lot of this has to do with who you're playing against when it's dealing with the Pelicans. The Pelicans dictated that game. And the Pelicans' elite-level talent is allowing them this year, they're 10-4 against teams below 500. And that's a playoff team. They have elite-level talent in those two big guys. And what that's doing is putting them, they dictate the game. They're controlling where the game, how the game is being played with that, with their skill set. And they're not as good when Cousins is on the floor, but I think I've tried to bring this up either on postcast last night or maybe it was just in the broadcast. But so when Anthony Davis is on the floor by himself, we talked about yesterday, they're plus 10. That's elite. That's Warrior Rocket level. When they have two bigs on the floor, they're plus 4 per 100 possessions. That's good. When Cousins is on the floor by themselves, they're minus 4. That's bad. But that's their worst lineup. That's pretty good if that's your worst lineup. And when suddenly, on those rare nights, Cousins is good or not hugely negative, which is probably last night, they're pretty good. So that team's a playoff team. I actually think this playoff race is thinning down pretty darn quickly, in my book, to Clippers, Jazz, Blazers for one spot. I really think it's Clippers, Jazz, Blazers for one spot. I think Denver's going to make it. They're just good enough. The Pelicans are good enough. They have the dominating talent. Oklahoma City and Minnesota have separated themselves, Minnesota particularly. So I actually think this is getting down to Portland, Clippers, Jazz for one spot. Just narrow it down that quickly. Kind of wild. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. They're having a lot of fun over at Murdoch Chev because what they're doing is they're partying, like they like to say, like it's 1.99, 1999. So they have their sales event. It's 1.99%. They're doing this along with Golden West Credit Union. I'm driving that Silverado truck right now. It is awesome. It's been a really cool experience to drive a truck. It's not something I've done before. They also have the great SUV line. Chevy's got the best lineup of trucks available for you. They've got every single discipline, if you want to call it that, covered. And what they have right now is 1.99% on everything this month coupled with Golden West Credit Union. That's over at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. I'll be stopping by there today to say hi to Tyson, and I'll tell you my cool story about them in a second. But you know you get the Murdoch no regrets experience. You know you get a Chevy family that has been there for 91 years in Utah, serving you Chevys, whether it's the heavy-duty Silverado, the Colorado truck, the whole lineup. Chevy has got all three of them, the light-duty half-ton truck Silverado, the mid-sized truck Colorado, the heavy-duty Silverado. Pretty awesome collection, plus the Colorado diesel. The SUV line's great, Suburban, Tahoe, Equinox, Traverse, Trax, all there for you at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, 1.99%. All right, so I want to just share Now that we've moved on with that, I did tell you I had a cute story I wanted to share. Back to Murdoch Sheb for a second. So Tyson Murdoch was at the game last night. His grandmother is 90 years old, and she was at the game. So with her jazz earrings on and just totally fired up. And so she came by the broadcast site, and I bought her a sweatshirt. And so I gave her the sweatshirt to thank her for coming to the game. And that she was happy about that. But that was weird. That, like, why is this guy giving me a sweatshirt? And then Ron Boone, we set it up. So then Ron Boone comes by. I mean, she's 90, right? Like, Ron, she probably saw Ron play with the Utah Stars, saw Ron play with the Utah Jazz. And Ron's been broadcasting. He's like been, I mean, the guy's been in the league for 50 years. And oh my gosh, it was the coolest thing to see a 90-year-old woman suddenly have the eyes of a 12-year-old who's like seeing something that's like, it's like, it's real. She's like, I've watched you the whole time. I just like touching him. Like, oh my gosh, you're right here. You're right next to me. It was the coolest thing just to see. And Ron's such an amazing guy that he embraced it so well. I want to do a quick check on Rodney because I'm just mystified by him. He's doing so many things so great right now. So the big change he had to kind of make in his game was become a better off the bounce shooter than just a catch and shoot if he was going to be a primary scorer. He's done that. He's one of the top five off the bounce 3-point shooters in the league. One thing we've talked about is he needs to go to the free throw line more. That has not been something, but it's gone. But it's not like it hasn't gone up at all. Per 36 minutes, he's gone from 2.6 to 3.3. That's actually a lot. Like, so almost a 30% increase in his free throw attempts. So that's tremendous. His free throw shooting is brilliant at 86%. His 3-point shooting is nearly 40% for the season. It's 39.6. Like, there is so much in this package that is Rodney Hood that is so good. He's become more aggressive overall. The one thing that's a little surprising is his shooting inside is down. So last year he took 12% of his shots at the rim. Now they're down to 9%. He took 16% in that 3-10 range. It's down to 13%. You would like him to have reduced his long 2 range, and that's actually gone up. So his shot distribution's out of whack. He suddenly, 3 years ago, he took 9% of his shots as 16 to 3 feet. Now that's jumped to 12% last year and 16% this year. So way too many long 2s for him. And his 3-point percentage of shots that are 3s have been brilliant. 46, 46, 46, 49 this year. Like, that's great. That is tremendous, and he's making more of them. You wish that shot distribution change had not been that the rim shots have suddenly become long 2s. That might be leading to what the next part of this conversation is going to be. So Ron said it last night on the floor that the interesting thing about him is that, you know, if he's not shooting well right now, he's not bringing you a lot else. His rebounding numbers are not, he's not a high level rebounder, right? That's not, his total rebounding percentage is kind of disastrously low, frankly. He's at 5.2%. Like, he gets 5% of all rebounds that are on the floor. If we're all just sitting there at equal chance, it's 10%. For a shooting guard, that's a crazy low number. It's just probably not a part of his game. It's never been. He's at 6% and 7%. It's just who he is. That's fine. But it does mean that, like, AB, when he's struggling, go grab 5 or 6, 7 rebounds. It's probably not something that he's going to do a great deal. His assist rate, which in the first 2 years of his career were at 13 and 14%, are down to 10%. So now he's not really creating a great deal like he did for some other people. I think I'm not entirely sure why that is. It's probably the larger burden he's taking for the team. The wild card is what we've always talked about with him, which is the bell curve. And I was pretty excited about what I was seeing out of him earlier this year when he went on before the injury. He played, I think it was 12 straight games, all of them over double figures, shot 19% from the floor, 42% from the field, 39% from three. It was great. Like, he was over 17 in all but, or 16 in all but two of them. Like, the bell curve, if he's going to be a 17-point-a-game scorer, what we're talking about is that on and if you're on Facebook Live, you actually can see me do this. So he's at, if he's a 17-point-a-game scorer, what you don't want is him at 25 one night and 9 the next. Divide him in 2, you get to 17. Because if he's your second scorer, you lose every time he goes to 9. And so what you're looking for him to do is take that from 13 to 21, right? And then if he does that on a night, then you got your 17-point-a-game scorer. And spike to 30 every now and then, like he has once this year, 26, and keep the bottom level 13, 14, and now you're a 19-a-point-a-game scorer. So that's what we were looking for. That was going on earlier this year, and it was great. Suddenly, that is not going on. And part of the reason, I don't actually know why. In 3 of the last 4 games, he hasn't taken a free throw. That's a little problematic. In 4 of the last 5 games, he's taken 1 or fewer free throws. But that's kind of, again, like, his assists are back up the last 2 games, 2 and 3, so, like, that's good. It's just this weird thing that suddenly in 4 of his last 5 games, Rodney has shot below 33%. And when Rodney shoots below 33%, it's very hard for the Jazz to win. I don't know if he's nicked again. He's not as good at home as he is on the road, by the way. But when he shoots below 33% this year, the Jazz are 2-8, I believe, is the answer. And one of those games is the Portland game. He only played 19 minutes. Cleveland, he played 27 minutes. He went 4 of 13. He also made 4 threes that game. So that's a little misleading on that. That's the game they've won. And, you know, this is probably even kind of a more pressure packed deal of like, is this what this team needs? Is that when Rodney shoots below 50%, which is an unrealistic number for him to hit, we're 5-11 it is. No, it's worse than that. Wow. Sorry, I have some weird coloring. So Rodney, it's not fair to ask Rodney. You shouldn't ask a guy. This is not a fair expectation of Rodney. This might be an explanation of how much we're demanding out of Rodney, and maybe that's too much. So the Jazz, he's shot below 50% in 18 games this year. That's what he should do. And the Jazz have only won 5 of those. 6. Right? 6. 1, 2, 3. No, 5. 6. Portland game. That last one. So that's, boy, we really need Rodney to have these great games because there just aren't. AB's a low percentage guy. Rubio's a low percentage guy. Like, that's a big burden on Rod. I'm not sure that that's fair. And so I think in turn, some people, probably including myself at times, are putting a little bit more on. Like last night, okay, he goes 1 of 10, 0 of 6 from 3. We need him. He probably, that's a large reason why the Jazz lost last night. But I'm not sure that that's a fair thing to be putting on Rod every night, is I guess kind of my point on this. And I think we're still trying to figure out who he is, and asking him to be what we're asking him might be more than is something that's fair to him. He's a pretty nice player, does a lot of things really, really well, and his development is definitely there, particularly with the way he has grown as a shooter off the bounce and showing those skills. It's impressive. All right, I'll get your questions next. Today's show is brought to you in part by Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. Devin came to me at the very beginning, and I asked him, why should someone use Devin Cash? And he said, I really approach real estate with the heart of a teacher. I never want my clients to feel uncomfortable with any situation. I love working with first-time home buyers because I can guide them through the process from start to finish. And we need to talk to me, they talk to me. You won't have to deal with secretaries, receptionists, coordinators. I never rush my clients into a decision they're not ready to make. And as a cherry on top, we can talk Jazz basketball. And that's true. And you know what's cool is since then, and for those of you who are longtime listeners to the show, you know this, we have got time and time again got response from people that's exactly what they've experienced, that Devin has done exactly that for them and had those experiences. Devin recently kind of reached out to me and said, hey, by the way, I think there's a misnomer out there and I'd like you to help me with it. I said, sure. He said, people don't understand what it takes to buy a house. He said 83% of first-time home buyers think they need a down payment of 10% or higher to buy a home. He said, that's not true. the reality is that most people need between 0 and 3.5% for a down payment. They can talk to Devin and discuss what that means, what the options on that are, but there's a misnomer out there what percentage of home price do you think is required? And if you ask people, they think 83% of people think that it's over 10% or more. In fact, 29% think it's 20%. And actually, stunningly, 54% think it's over 20%. So Devin can help you out. If you're new to the process, he loves working with first-time home buyers, and he can help you out. Give him a call at 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. All right, let's get to your questions. See if I can not knock over the camera. Can you introduce me to Joe Ingles? Matt, we're going to have to try it at some point. When will we start paying attention to the draft? I will in April. I was going to ask you about Hood. What's it going to take? Any update on Exum? I've heard nothing. I don't know what's going on. Dante was working out, doing a bunch of stuff. I think he's gone and got some checked in with some people recently. So I'll get an update on Dante. But we're probably, you know, still a ways away from any chance of Dante playing. But maybe Dante doing some more work. When was the last time we were this excited about a rookie? I would assume Darren. We should have been. Became an all-star. I'm curious about Donovan's efficiency. I think that there will be the difference between him being really good player and a star in this league. Are there any trends or signs of what he's being able to sustain? That's from Tyson, who does a really nice job. I'm gonna put a little. This is not his fault, but I'm gonna put a little note on Donovan. There's a lot. We've unfortunately played a lot of games recently where he's been on the floor in games that aren't close anymore. And his efficiency is awesome in those settings. Okay. I like the fact he plays all the way through the game. I can turn this definitely as a positive. I'm not meaning to be a negative, but in regards to his efficiency, like I think it's great. Like last night's a really good example of what he's capable of doing. But there also are some numbers where this is not updated through last night, but in games that are inside 10 points, going into last night, he's shooting 44% from the field and 34% from three for the season. Now, December, he was great, 51% and 36. But that number I just gave is a little lower, right? I mean, I think we probably have to keep an eye on just a tiny bit of... No, I mean, everything's going great. Maybe I shouldn't mention it. I still think there's got to be, he's developing. We got to give him some, it's kind of where I was yesterday on him again. I think he's incredible. I'm so excited about him. I think he's going to be amazing. I just would like to give him a little room to breathe still. I guess is where I am with that. And maybe I don't need to be. His efficiency, he went to the line 10 times last night. He couldn't get to the rim. He went to the line 10 times last night. Like, I think that's a great sign. And I couldn't be more excited about him. I'm not trying to damper anything at all. Maybe when doing research, I happen to stumble upon some things every now and then. I'm like, that's a little light. Like his second half, he's shooting 48%. First half, he's shooting 39%. Like his first half numbers have got to get better. Now, they were better in December than they have been all year long. Those are season long numbers. You know, when we're behind by 16 or more this year, he's been unbelievable. Like his best numbers are all when we're behind by 16 or more. I don't want to, again, I'm not trying to say, but let's dig, he's 34 of 59 from the field in those circumstances. So the other team's not playing now. Now that's not his fault. He's still playing. He deserves great credit for that. But let's watch what happens as we bring that back as the year goes on. He's great. I shouldn't have brought it up. I happened to find it recently. I've seen it. It happened again last night. He's great. And actually, I'm going to look up in December and see if it's as prevalent. But there's been a lot of that. His efficiency, though, I don't have any really worries about him at all. Donovan is not an all-star yet. There's only 12 of them. I don't think he's the 12th best player in the Western Conference yet. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Like, I'm not sure Paul George is making the all-star team. I think he's going to. He'll be the 12th guy. The numbers I just gave, by the way, in December, 14 of 23 went down by 16 or more. It's a lot. Right? That's a lot. In December, first halves, 40% from the floor, 28% from three. Okay? Like, if we're going to elevate him to this incredible level, like, he's got to get better in the first half of games. Second half, he's unbelievable. 60% from the field and 43% from the field, from three. He was... I mean, some of it's statistical anomaly. In December, in the second quarters, he shot 1 of 16 from 3. But, like, we spent most of the month trailing. Right? So, Donovan's three-point shooting when behind by more than 10 was 6 of 15. His overall shooting was 24 of 45. Like, he spent a lot of, there were a lot of time. We had a tough month. So early game stuff is the next step for him. I love that he watches a game and figures it out as it goes on. But early game stuff in December, 31% in the second quarters of games on his second stint in, 6% from three. Like, he's better than that. His fourth quarter numbers were incredible in December. Positive is that that's late game. He's adjusting. It's great. Negative is we're behind by a lot, and the other teams might not be as sharp. So it's all part of the, like, we don't have to build the statue yet, is what I'm saying. Let him build it himself. He's going to be great. Right now we're on the pace for 35 to 38 wins, only 3 wins on the road so far, but without Rudy most of the year. I think that's a fair comment. Like, if we had said Rudy was going to play whatever amount of games Rudy's played this year, what would you think our record's going to be? We seem to not be able to guard the three-point line. This is a good find here. We are suddenly 24th in the league in defending the three, and we're, I think, 27th or 28th defending the top of the break three, and I'm surprised by that. I don't know what's going on with that. Skyler Slade, I love Rubio's fight and play, but it seems to me he has a hard time making the momentum shots, but takes them often. When he misses the shots that would turn a few consecutive buckets into momentum. Sorry, where'd he go? It looks like a gut punch to the rest of the team's offense flow. Do you think we should keep taking those shots or make conscious effort to playmaker in those situations? I don't necessarily agree with your premise. I do think he plays hard. I think that's one of those things that once you see it, you feel it. Or once you think it, you see it. That's probably the way to say it. He's not a good shooter, right? He's not a good shooter. And so he misses shots. And he shoots below 40%, so he misses shots. I thought in the Cleveland game he made 2 of the bigger shots. And earlier this year he made some others. So I'm actually, Skylar, I'm not sure I agree with your premise any more than he's just not a very good shooter. And he's doing a bunch of things I kind of like. He's attacking the basket a little bit more recently, in and around the basket. He's one whose first quarter's got to shoot better. He shoots, you know, he's left open a lot in first quarters by other teams. That's clearly the game plan, and then he doesn't knock him down. That's hard. He's shooting 36% in the first quarter and 22% from three. And so that's hard. He actually is another one who I think is above the – above and behind numbers. There was something funky on that when I found it earlier this year. I couldn't remember what it was. But it's, you know, it's interesting to see. I agree with the premise he's missed some shots. I just think he's missed some shots. We'll leave it at that. Andy, do we just have to take, do we have too many non-shooters to withstand a guy or two having an off night? I think that's kind of where we started this season and talked about a great deal with you know, we have these 40% shooters, and if they have bad nights, it's going to happen. I think that's probably the case a little bit. And we've gotten our way around it pretty well. We have a bunch of guys having their best years of their career, and it's impressive, and that's Quinn's system getting a lot of that done. I'm not mailing it in, but do you think the Jazz management will have a win-loss number in mind where they decide to shut it down for the season, or do we continue to fight to the end? I actually think that every decision made going to the trade deadline should be made long-term. This is a pivot season to me in a lot of ways, in the sense that after losing Gordon, you're pivoting. We found Donovan. That's like a huge positive. And now you're finding the pieces are going to go around Donovan and Rudy and figure out where Rodney fits and what he wants to do and what's best for him and what Derek's, what, how Derek fits and what his, and then which of these guys on 1 year contracts fit, and you rebuild this thing. So I think this is a pivot year. In other words, I think the management should be looking forward regardless of whether we win 3 of 4 on this road trip or 1 of 4 on this road trip. Status of Neto as he was running last night on the floor, looked better, and if he's better, then he should be able to pass his concussion protocol, and then once his knee's healthy, he can play again. Pelicans are a decent road team. Yes, partially because they have no home court. It looks as his team goes as Rubio goes. It's worth looking at to see whether that's true in Minnesota. They also go as Rodney goes. Both those are true. Rodney in wins is shooting 45% from the floor in 3 and losses 39 and 37. Rubio in wins 44%, 38 from the field 3, 34% losses 19 from 3. So both of them are pretty vital for us to get going, which goes back to that point about shooters earlier. What stretch fours do we think we have a shot at the offseason? Let me ask a question. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. Jabari wasn't LDS, would his name ever be mentioned? And if we're mentioning him because he's LDS, then that's bad basketball. Okay? Right? Like, I maybe you like Jabari as a player, off 2 ACLs and everything else, but, like, can we just, like, we can't acquire players because we like their faith. That seems like a really ill-advised way to run a franchise. It would have worked well with Jimmer. LeBron is signing with the Jazz next year. Why didn't Thabo play last night? Great question. Quinn just doesn't feel he can play 3 power forwards. Thabo's now slotted as a power forward in a night. And so, depending on the matchup, he's going with Jarebko and Joe Johnson or Thabo and Joe Johnson. Trying to get Joe going, and Joe got going last night. So, Thabo matched up better against LeBron. Feeling was Jarebko was better against Anthony Davis, which he was plus 20 in the first game. Didn't work out as well last night for him in the plus-minus, but I thought he was fine. So that's a little bit of it. And also, you know, Thabo's 33, so you're preserving him a little bit. We'll see how that plays out, whether that shuffles itself out some way along the way. The other one is then, well, Thabo could play the 3, but if Thabo and AB were kind of alternating even already beforehand, we just have a lot of players. And I think Thabo could play the 3 over Royce O'Neal, but Royce O'Neal didn't play last night. So there's just somebody who's going to be out of the rotation, and so that's the way Quinn's managing that right now. Are we actively looking more guys to get something out of them before we lose them, or do you think we are still in discovery mode with guys like Alec Hood Favors to see if we want them? I think we're probably learning more and more every day and looking at long-term asset evaluation with them. Hi, David. So excited to finally be listening live. My boyfriend and I are avid listeners. We currently are traveling overseas in Panama. Awesome. Frank Layden at lunch the other day is going to Panama and was telling me a whole thing about talking about why the Panama Canal is so important. And it was really interesting. You take up a lot of bus trips. We're both locked on Jazz and also NBA. My question is in regards to your views on Comet Jazz TV broadcaster Matt Harping made regarding Devin versus Ben Simmons, or maybe and Ben's eligibility for, or Donovan maybe, eligibility for Rookie of the Year, considering he had a whole year to sit on the sideline and watch the NBA, unlike Donovan, who's completely new to the NBA. The red shirt, you know, Ben Simmons is by definition a rookie. He didn't play a game last year. So that's always been the definition. I agree with you a little bit. I felt that way on Embiid. You know, the way we'll phrase it is Donovan's the best player of this draft class. But I actually think Donovan could just win Rookie of the Year over Ben Simmons. Is Donovan Mitchell already at the same level as Hayward last year, or am I tripping? I think you might be tripping a little bit. I think we've forgotten how good Gordon was, Lester. Rudy for Klay Thompson. Who says no? I would assume the Warriors say no because they don't want to change anything they have. Why? And Draymond Green's their center. Joe Ingles has been great all year. Joe Ingles, boss. He sure does. That you got cut off. Well, I'd like to see an increase in three-point attempts. I'd love to see him take two or three more. I think everyone would like to see him shoot more, but I think it's a little bit we're asking him to be someone he's not. We're already asking him to play 30 minutes a night. All right, final few questions. We're at the 40-minute mark, and that's getting long. Despite Alec Burks falling off a bit scoring, I've been really impressed with his ability to get to the line and make free throws. Both Donovan and Alec. Whoa, you just fell down. I actually liked Alec's game a lot last night. He is struggling with his shooting. You know what? I'll take this. I didn't love that Alec came out like on the first three possessions and took the first three shots. And then I loved. Then I loved the way he played. I mean, I really, 6 rebounds last night, had great energy, pushed the tempo. I thought he was terrific. That's where last night he was minus 13. And I didn't see that at all. Now, the bummer right now with AB is that the last 10 games, he's shooting 31% from the field and 21% from three. Like, that's... I mean, I like he's going to the line 3 times a game, but those are scary numbers. And I think he's 1 for his last 9 from 3. I mean, heck, he's 20%. I mean, it's just a bummer, like, to see that because he's worked so hard in his game. But I loved the way he played last night. All right, I think that wraps us up. I know there's more questions. I can't get to all of them. We'll be here all day. David Smith says, faith may be a part of it, but Jabari's a good player. 20-6 last year prior to the injury, but those injuries worry me. I think that's probably the most accurate comment of all. All right. Awesome, you guys. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. This has been Locked On Jazz. I'm going to play a little draft this weekend. So if you want to play fantasy with me, we'll do it on draft football. Keep me entertained while I'm on the road. Maybe I can find something to do in Denver. Who knows? In Miami. Oh, I probably can. It is Locked On Jazz. Have a good day.